This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo! Hey.
Hey. Shut up. Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
It's the worst, especially when you go back to a hotel room. And then you're just like, usually we all just get high. Mm-hmm. And we just sit in the fucking courtyard and get high. And it's like, all right, see you guys in 10 hours. See you guys at 6:45 a.m.
Peace.
Yep.
Good times.
All right. Well, this is what
we
watched.
Sorry, I got totally sucked into this. I'm so sorry. I was doing a little bit of mini prep while you were talking. I was listening actively, and then I got so sucked in. Holy shit!
Listening actively. Yeah, totally. Peace out.
And then I listen neutrally myself.
I passively listen personally.
I passed the inspection.
Not with flying colors. Hey-o!
Hey,
that's from the pre-talk that no one's gonna hear. It wasn't great. I was just complaining about work. All right, what we watch?
What we watch?
Movie club. Nostalgia. Part two. Part three.
Reckoning.
Definitely part three.
Part three. I was wondering when we were doing Alien up. Everyone go listen to Alien Romulus, which was a week or two ago, maybe. Brandon, have you seen it yet?
No, I still haven't seen it yet. I was going to go tonight, but fucking there's no show times where I live.
Loser.
Thanks a lot, school.
Oh yeah, that was also in the pre-talk Anyways, you definitely need to. You should still see it. I don't know how many aliens you've seen. You'll be fine.
Okay, I only saw 1 and 2, maybe 3, whatever, and it was still a really fucking good movie.
Okay.
Because
okay.
even it was really entertaining. I think even the stuff, like, the practicals are fucking gorgeous, dude.
Yeah, if anything, just the visuals alone, every department that is involved in the visuals, like, is excellent.
Honestly.
Excellent.
If production design is not Oscar-bound, at minimum, nomination, I'll be pissed.
Yeah.
And also,
visual effects?
I'm pissed. Deadpool's beating him again. Like, why won't people go see this? It's freaking, like, it's so good.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Well, it's so good to hear.
It's fascinating because Deadpool and Wolverine are doing so well, but then movies like Dune 2, which everyone that has seen it loved it. Same thing with Alien Romulus. They're just not doing as well as people would think they would do, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. But.
And, you know, yeah, I don't know. Like, especially because it's like, Alien is also a sequel. Like, it's also just like, you know. It's
part of like
not original IP.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It is very odd. I don't know why. Maybe just because it's more horror-ish, hoary.
Yeah. It's hard to say because they're both rated R too. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, but like one's comedy.
Yeah, you're right.
I think, you know, honestly, I think comedies are going to come back, have a swing back, you know, when our superheroes had their heyday. And I think comedies might take a swing back into pop culture.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. I'm definitely not the kind. Speaking of comedy, though.
Did you see Dee Dee?
What we watched.
Just kidding. I know you guys did.
I did see Dee Dee. I did see Dee Dee.
I did go see Dee Dee.
How was
see
it?
Dee Dee. I saw it. It was good.
Yeah, I liked it. Nostalgia.
Speaking
nostalgia.
Of nostalgia. Well, hey, speaking of nostalgia.
Woo, look at us go.
Club.
We'll take it out and then we'll just reel it right back in.
See, it's like we've practiced this before.
I heard down in Highlands Ranch they don't have late movie times anymore.
No, they don't.
Either.
It's really fucking irritating. I was going to go after we talk. Thanks a lot, school.
I do want you to see Alien before we move on. I want to see you, Alien. I don't want to say why, one of the reasons why, but I want to see if you have the same vibe
that I had
reaction, and Jeff also had it without me saying.
Ooh.
I like kind of prompted it,
okay.
And then he also said the same thing.
I should get out of work early enough tomorrow to go see it. And
I can't
if not,
fathom he doesn't also have the same like feelings about it, so
okay.
certain feeling about it, so we'll see.
Okay.
Anyway. Please, if people haven't seen, go see Alien Romulus. Please.
Yes, it's good.
Yeah, go see it. Go watch a movie.
Well, that's very true. Pick a movie. Yeah. Go fine. But also, I know I bitched about it. But, go see Deadpool. Whatever. I don't
but
know.
Also, listen to our podcast. This is what we and watched. Then,
yes. Go see Alien, then listen to our podcast. Then go watch A Knight's Tale, and then listen to the... Wait, you're still listening. Listen to it twice.
Yeah.
Prep for it. Or more. With this. Then watch it. Then come back.
Do yeah. exactly everything Matt said, or just listen to the podcast. If you like us explaining movies to you, that works too. I'm fine with that.
And us is I am Matt.
I'm Brandon.
That makes me Jeff.
Jesus Christ.
We've got this on lock.
It's like we've done this before. Times. All right, this is our first episode. Everybody, welcome in. Welcome in.
Yes. Welcome to, I think this is a podcast. Pretty sure it's a movie review podcast, but sometimes we talk about sports. Sometimes we just bullshit around. A lot of the times, though.
Speaking of sports. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, sometimes we just talk. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I forgot what I was going to say.
And sometimes we also joust.
Hey, speaking of jousting, this week's for nostalgia is my pick. God, I'm angled so low. This pick is nostalgia 2000. Not nostalgia. Fuck.
This is going.
Brandon, do your little tagline thing. Brandon, do your tagline thing. That's how it actually officially starts.
All right. So, for anyone wondering, this is what we watched. This is a movie review podcast. It's for movie lovers. It's for TV lovers.
Matt. That's Jeff.
That's Jeff. That's Matt. I'm Brandon. We host this podcast. This podcast is called What We Watch. This podcast is a movie review podcast. This podcast is for movie lovers. This podcast is for TV lovers. And this podcast
I'm
is also like repetition.
You didn't have to do it the shitty way.
Well, see, you didn't let me do it. You interrupted
me.
That's what you get.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, I like the repetition thing because that the movie we're talking about, which is A Knight's Tale, has a lot of repetition in it. And I think I like the majority of the way that it's done. Like, it doesn't feel too repetitive to the point where like it's boring. Like, it actually uses its repetition effectively.
What kind of repetition? What are you referring to?
The actual jousting,
like just shots of going back to the stadiums and the different places and jousting over and over and over.
Yes, or just different shots of the jousting sticks. What are the javelins?
The lances.
Lances. God, thank you.
Horses.
I don't know. I wasn't a knight. Get off my ass.
It's okay. I know sports stick.
Watching Trey Lance break into 1,000 pieces is a lot of fun. Oh, wait, no. Fuck. I got back to football. Sorry. So, no, like seeing the actual lances break apart, they did that a lot, but they did that in comedic ways. Seeing, you know, the knights get knocked around again.
I liked
the
tiny fist on the end of one of the lances.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny.
All right, so this was my choice, and let me explain to you why I chose this one this week. Nostalgia month three, whatever. This is legitimately, I would say, it's probably the movie I've seen more than any other movie ever.
Whoa. This is the first time
because
I've seen
this is the first time you've seen it, Jeff? Really?
Yeah,
Brandon,
I thought
have you
I
seen
had,
this?
But
I want to say I have seen this because I recognized a couple of scenes, but I don't know if I ever actually sat down and watched the entire thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. So this is my I'm sad movie. This is my I'm sick movie. This is my I put this on. I watched it so many times. This is one of those things where it's like if I watch it, I say the line before they say the line.
Wow.
Quietly under my breath.
This is your Shrek.
No, you've come to be arrested, you know, shit like that, where it's like I know that line.
Wow.
The way that guy says it, it's always so weird. I don't know. I acknowledge there, you know, I love this. It you know, it taps into a ton of it's a sports movie. You know, it's like a road trip kind of movie where they all like they travel back to one, you know, there's a little love story in it. It's definitely got warts.
Oh, and it's definitely got an underdog story as well.
Yep, yeah, it's got the understory. It's got like those moments where it's like when he makes it back and goes to it, sees his dad. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck, dude, that is like the most so emotional. It's so sad. It's so powerful.
Yeah. I'm curious why they made him
same
blind.
With the ending.
Like, he didn't just, he didn't have, you know, to be, I guess. Like, I
fucking
know.
Live it up, man. Live it up. What do you
he
want?
He was making really good nets, though, while blind.
I know, he was. Can you freaking
he's got that
imagine
shit down.
How difficult that is? Also, being blind, he'd have to search every single piece.
He's just like, and then, all right, whole, like, top, not number 374. I just got to get to 375, and that's where I make the edge.
I don't know. Right? I hope he charges per knot.
Oh,
yeah. I hope he charges per knot.
Well, he's so nonchalant about someone just strolling into his house.
Well, I mean, I imagine he's poor.
I would
he's
let
got
people
holes
do
in
that
his ceiling.
If that, because I'd be like, I need food. Can you just come inside and set it down for me?
Hello, can you help me, please? Well, that's why I also imagine, you know, with him being blind, it's like you get the dialogue back and forth, which I don't think happens if he's not blind. You know, it's mm-hmm. it probably because they look pretty similar. He'd be like, oh, shit, my boy. But, you know, news about your son. Mm-hmm. Oh, did he follow his feet back home?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was so sad. Aww. And then also, I will say it's very emotional. And the dad was, you know, pretty good acting, but I'm pretty positive to make him cry, he stared into a light. That's my assumption.
And then he was
his
actually
eyes
blind.
Are,
he's so method.
His eyes are so, like, lit up. Like, it's so shiny. I imagine they had...
contacts, probably.
Maybe. I mean, it looked like it was, like, a shining light was in his eye, and then that's what made it water. That's why, it totally could, but it looked like there had to be a bright-ass light somewhere near. Again, that's stuff that I noticed because I've watched it 30
times.
Yeah,
you can pick up on those kind of details.
Those are tears of pain, not sorrow.
Yes. Hey, maybe. Yeah, you know what? His heart is in pain, Jeff. What more do you want? Like, how is that not sorrow?
I think it was joy. I think those were in the story. It was joy, but you know.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what she's talking about. So since this is like one of the first, I mean, this is the first time that either of you have really seen it. Mm-hmm. I do have a question. I wrote down a question for Jeff. What's the tall one? Brandon.
Hi.
The one that was in Alien Romulus.
Yeah, 50-50.
don't listen to our episode, Jeff. Brandon. God. Brandon, what did you think about the music? Because it was a very weird. The whole thing had a weird vibe, but they combined up more like, you know, pop culture in 2021. It was up to date, more or less up to date music, with more traditional here and there, and, you know, orchestras here and there.
Yeah, and that was actually one of my notes, was I don't know, I kind of was on the fence about it. I went back and forth. Immediately I went, wait, is that fucking We Will Rock, and the the people are singing and clapping and stomping along to We Will Rock You?
And they stop it when they stop the trumpet.
Yep.
I like that.
It's like guitar solo. And then it stops.
Yep. Yep.
I didn't hate it, but I think it took me out more than I would have liked. The one time that it was really cool, I don't remember the song, but it was the ballroom dance scene. They integrated that modern song really, really well.
See, that's so funny that you said that, because I'm like complete flip opposite. Like, I thought the soundtrack was fun and everything. Like, obviously great songs throughout it and whatever. It made it seem fun, like kind of like Dungeons and Dragons. Like, they probably threw some pop songs in that and whatnot. But but then once the dance scene came on, I could not get it out of my head that was not like traditional like music, like that they were dancing to, and the dances seemed like very modern kind of as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I thought that the dance choreography actually was like a great fusion, a great blend of like
this
blend, modern style versus like this old, you know, medieval dance style. Like, it was actually really interesting, and that I think worked really well. But the rest of the soundtrack, like, yes, you're right, they're good songs, very, very enjoyable songs, and they were placed perfectly. Mm-hmm. They just, for me, took me out of the situation itself, because I'm so used to, when I'm in that world, you know, being saturated in that world and being in the old, you know, flute music, basically.
I only joust to a good tambourine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's fucking... These new school jousters don't fucking know what history we started with. Yeah. I mean, and you know, the boys are back in town. Mm-hmm. I love that one.
That was a great placement. I wonder if if it started with like some modern retelling of A Knight's Tale, like, and then they're like, you know what, let's just fucking put them in the 14th century. Screw it.
So, no. So, well, like, It won the music. The guy, I forgot the composer's name, whatever, or the person that did all the music, mm-hmm. said he did it to be like a little updated, but also it's kind of represents, you know, the music for them at that time is the same vibe. Like the people that were there mm-hmm. had this is how they felt about the music that was then, mm-hmm. you know, it is, they loved it. Like we will rock you and all that stuff. I know. Right. Well, all of his interviews and stuff, he lived there. You saw Dial of Destiny, right? That was based off of his traveling back.
I see. That was a biopic on him. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
All I can hear is Ridley Scott. You weren't there. So shut the fuck up.
You like this, but you don't very like true. Napoleon.
but they did the blend of, you know, old school and new school, mm-hmm. Throughout,
yes.
you know, the way they talked, you know, the Nike symbols,
oh,
you
dude,
know,
right. Yes. Yeah. I thought that
was the Nike symbols was an interesting touch. Carter Burwell was the composer and credited as music by for this movie. I am looking at his credits and I'm like, oh shit, he's done a lot actually. He did 3 billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
What was the actual asshole? Like this was, he did great on here. So of course he did a lot.
He did Banshees, the Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
He did, oh, wow, that was weird. He's done the morning show TV series. And then he did this year, he did Driveaway Dolls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I hate him now. No.
You were like, you had me at Banshees. You lost me at Driveaway Dolls. No. Going off of what you guys were both saying there, though, about like this little modern twist and fusion that they were doing, one thing that stuck out to me too was, again, during that dance scene portion, was Jocelyn's character. Her hair looked like punk emo 2000s, yeah. like yep. teenage style, and I was like, yeah. that's mm-hmm. super interesting to see.
It was. Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Matt. I mean, you had more.
I was going to say it was so, yeah, punk rock is a great way to put it. It was so against the grain and so like blasphemous mm-hmm. that I'm surprised that they didn't, you know, call it out, hang more lanterns on it. Like when they're in the church and, you know, like, hey, shush. And she's like, no, don't shush me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm surprised they didn't do more, but like with the way she dressed or the way that she talked or the way that she, you know, presented herself, because it was very modern and definitely out of place, but it looked really cool, and it was very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, out of place when they put all the other stuff. Like we said, they just modernized mm-hmm. a shit ton mm-hmm. the music.
That's fair.
Band,
I mean, just I guess
how she dresses from what you think it should.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
But that's the whole thing. Is like they did their own. They definitely did their unique vibe, mm-hmm. which doesn't line up with everybody. Everyone doesn't love it. But it's like they took their style and what they wanted to do. It was MTV's mm-hmm. you know, medieval version,
yeah.
basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see you. I get you.
I mean, it was 2001, right? Mm-hmm. The MTV era.
Yeah.
That's when it was, yeah. that's when it was made.
And I think that's why I had less of a problem with this, you know, historical accuracy, if you will, because it wasn't trying to be historically accurate. Mm-hmm. It wasn't trying to say this is exactly how people talk. This is exactly how people, you know, interacted. It did exactly that. They told what they wanted to tell, and they made it entertaining on top of it.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, we look at it more critically when it's like, say, Ridley Scott's Napoleon movie, where like it is taking itself seriously already, and then you find all these little things maybe. But this movie like gave, again, not seeing it before ever, the intro scene, even when he asks him for those like nose plugs and then puts it into his nose to go up to the person. I'm like, oh, it's going to be this
left.
Kind of
this
movie.
Right.
I can't take it completely seriously. And we're just going to have some fun.
It's going to be a little goofy. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I love about good opening scenes, is it sets the mm-hmm. tone for the movie and it sets your expectations, and it doesn't try and subvert them. It goes, this is the flavor. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you don't enjoy it, well, you know, at
I
least
will
you
say,
know.
I almost thought it was going to be
Alan
like
Tudyk
Mel Brooks
in the back
styled,
beating him up
because of that.
You thought it was
scene.
What?
I thought it was going to be Mel Brooks styled because of that intro
yes.
scene.
Yes,
like that, felt like a Mel Brooks
that
gag.
Yep, first line I put is like it opens like a satirical comedy. 100%, I agree with you.
Yeah, but then it did
Alan
go
Tudyk
more traditional like romance comedy story. Further down the line.
And yes, Alan Tudyk in the back.
Gag.
Yes, Matt, yeah. we'll let you die on that.
I'm just trying not to step on everybody. The opening scene also, the when the knight gets knocked over and he dies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Apparently that is the it's a real take of an accident that Heath Ledger's stunt double had, like, at some other point. Mm. And so then they kept it in. They put it in as the whatever the knight, I forgot the knight's name. Mm-hmm. Sir Hector, maybe? Yeah, Hector. Yeah, I think it was Hector. Dying, well, you know, quote unquote dying or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, they had a ton of jokes also. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like, you know, all of the jokes. Alan Tudyk, I'd love 75%, 80% of all of his stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely some stuff that I'm just like, that, you know, I didn't think that was funny, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I do like a ton of the comedy. It seemed like the actors were having, you know, a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. On set. Looked like they were real friends. And I thought the chemistry was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me kind of a little bit of how like Seth Rogen and his crew's movies kind of play out. Like, it seemed like a group like that kind of doing some things. Obviously Seth Rogen's crew and whatever, different like do things their style.
Different style.
Yeah. But it felt a little fun like that. And it was going further into like these characters and stuff, like the actors, I was just like, more and more people kept popping up and I was like, oh, so, you know, it's like, it's Alan Tudyk and then Paul Bettany, who plays Vision for Marvel these days. Like, I was just like, what the it's like these people are popping out of nowhere.
Dude, there's a good amount. I mean, there's only a couple. Alan Tudyk. I mean, Heath Ledger, mm-hmm. you know. And did you see, Brandon, did you see the connection to the Time Machine, the same actor?
No.
Roland, mm-hmm. the round one.
Mark Addy.
Is Guy Pierce's buddy in the Time Machine.
Yeah, the bowler hat, and he throws it.
Yeah, the one that takes the bowler hat off. Yep, mm-hmm. That's why I was like, as soon as I started watching Time Machine, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm doing The Knight's Tale. Yep.
I got you. Speaking of, go listen to The Time Machine. That was last Sunday. Mm-hmm. So make sure you watch The Time Machine and you go listen to that episode as well.
Yep. You'll understand the tie into this movie, and then tune in next time to see how this one ties into The Producer.
Oh, shit.
Brandon needs to figure that out.
I'll get there. I'll get there.
Not that. I've never seen that one either. So
that's the tie-in.
We'll see about that.
Rufus Gross. Sewell was my guy who I went, oh, shit. Oh, I can't believe he is in this. Rufus Sewell, right? I know from The Man in the High Castle. He was Count Adhemar.
Was he a bad
guy in that, too?
Yep.
Yes.
He plays a good bad guy.
In
anti-hero.
I imagine he's a bad guy in his real life, too. He just got that vibe.
He's typecast as that.
Yeah, definitely. I thought the best acting, like, I thought that they all did well. They're all, chemistry was good. Yeah. I thought Heath Ledger did actually do good. Mm-hmm. By no means, you know, the level of Joker, that's a whole different, like, not even. But I thought he did. He played his character well. Mm-hmm. But I thought the best actor was Paul Bettany.
I think so, too.
I thought he did the best.
Biggest, like, impressions.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I loved, honestly, the acting was one of, oh, no, Matt.
Bye, Matt.
Bye.
Oh, hi, Matt.
The acting was definitely one of my favorite, if not, I think it was my favorite aspect of this movie. I think that it...
I thought it would be the music.
Not on this one. But no, to echo everything you guys have been saying, like it just looked like everyone was having so much fun, which kind of freed them up to play around a little bit more, you know, maybe than they usually would, which then freed up the material as well to make it, you know, nothing ever felt, you know, down or dark or depressing. Like it was a lighthearted, fun, entertaining movie that all of the acting, nothing felt cheesy. And yet nothing was taken too seriously. And that is such a fine line to walk, especially for this era, especially for the early 2000s, making a semi-historical kind of movie. Definitely can get into the camp realm really, really easily. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think it did that. And
speaking of which, of like the semi-historical, Brandon, do you know, like, so Paul Bettany played Geoffrey Chaucer. Who is he's a famous author. Mm-hmm. This is loosely, so the way, like, what it, you know, hypothetically kind of started was he wrote, it's Canterbury Tales.
Mm-hmm.
The first chapter of that story is called A Knight's Tale. And so at the very end where he goes, you know what? I should write this down. It's because it's supposed to be, there's like about a year or so of his life that historians legitimately don't know where he was. Don't know what he was doing. He's lost to history. So the kind of like the joke kind of poke is this is what he was doing. He was, you know, walking around the country, done this. So, you know, he wrote down the story. Those two guys that he's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, he has a lot of great lines that I can't say because he's fucking smart.
There's so many.
But I'm going to put you in history. You made me naked for, a day. I'll smack your face, whatever. But he put characters that like they tried to cast him to look like the characters he describes in that book. So the joke is, you know, he went and wrote the book after the fact. He put all this stuff in. But yeah, so he's, you know, he is a famous writer that, you know, mystery year of his life was traveling around in A Knight's Tale with the, you know, Heath Ledger.
Gotcha. Oh, that's so cool. And see, I love that because, you know, to Sir Scott's point, like nobody was there, so nobody really knows. So have fun with it. Open it up and open that era up to just whatever you want it to be. And that's so cool, is taking real historical people, not slandering them, not, you know, dragging them through the mud, but just going, yeah, kind of what if in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Jeff, yeah. How much you want to bet that Brandon sneaks in the next week or two in his real life to Tredge? I think he's going to say that to somebody at some point.
Bold of you to assume that I haven't already.
That's true. That's very true. That is very true. Yeah, Bettany has a lot of great lines. I mean, like I love their singing, another chemistry thing when they're in the pub singing and stuff. I think that was very funny.
Well, and one of my favorite fantastic subplots was
Did you see it?
Well,
the background? Go ahead, sorry.
I don't know, maybe.
go ahead.
I don't know what his role is. Paul Bettany's Geoffrey Chaucer. I don't know what his like Geoffrey Chaucer's role in that group is called, if he's just another squire or like the announcer guy.
Herald.
That's perfect. So I love that the heralds like are battling like between each other, like they're trying to one up by the end.
He changes how everything is like done, like, you know, it's the standard, and then he comes, shakes it up, and then by the end the guy's like trying all the different stuff.
He's actually trying this technique to kind of get the crowd riled up, and it's just like that to me just is so funny and works so well and can be done when a story is loose like this, and you find those kind of moments throughout, and that probably wasn't even necessarily scripted or you know, not in that kind of way. And so I love that. But yeah, a lot of Paul Bettany's lines are great. I love Alan Tudyk for most of this. Like, I was watching I can't remember what magazine it was for, but he, you know, where the actors will go back and like comment on their famous roles. Alan Tudyk did one of them, and so he was talking about A Knight's Tale and just how your entrails will be your out trails. Like, it's just, it's a great line. That's a great fucking.
What was he saying too? He kept going back to like saying, like, I will forge you. Or something.
Fong. I will fong you. Fong, I don't know. It's just some. I don't know if it's a real word. I don't know what they made, but it's like really like they placed it everywhere. Oh, you're in for a good fonging.
Fong you.
Right. I don't know if it's supposed to be fuck, but it's like, I know I'm in for a good fuck, but I'm like, that wouldn't have worked. So it's like a very generic word that I guess. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
I want to see if I can guess it. You said when Brandon was saying there was a subplot or something, you said,
it's a really small one.
Is it,
there's like a couple,
well, is it a subplot or is it like a behind background thing that was kind of developing?
I think I'm guessing, you know.
Yes. So like the other love interest, right?
Yep. I love it. I was like, it's so funny.
Good
Did
for
you.
You
see Brandon?
Which was, no, I guess not.
Oh, so, good for Roland, dude.
So Roland is like in love with what's her name's assistant
person,
the French chick.
No, well, Jocelyn's
assistant.
Yes,
Christiana.
So like, you know, he stares at her one time, like the first time where they learn her name, Jocelyn.
Yes,
Roland is staring at her with a mouth open,
yes.
And then Paul Bettany gives a little tap. Later, he's in the background when they're like arguing about being naked at the dance or whatever. Yep. Roland's in the background chatting her up, like leaned over, like dogging her and stuff. So that's the subplot of like he's in love with this chick.
Well, and then
too.
Even when they were walking away, she like turns back to look at Roland again and stuff. Yep. And it's just like, that was fun.
I caught a couple of those glances and I was assuming that that was going to be one by the end. But since we didn't get like a kiss or anything like that, there wasn't.
You know, just background, you know. We don't need to focus on the
I didn't connect them all together and see everything, because I saw a couple of them. So I was just expecting more of a lead up, but I love that. That's mm-hmm. so adorable.
Mm-hmm. Well, so also I want to bring up another thing that I wonder if you guys noticed, but in like the intro of the entire movie where it's "We Will Rock You," did you guys notice that one of the extras was completely off the clap?
they all like, were.
Well, no, literally so, one was just like, they'd be like, do clap, and she like completely misses it and then claps like when they start the next beats, and I'm just like, what is happening?
So let me comment on that, and it kind of rolls into another thing of because I want to get back to like Jocelyn and whatnot, but they shot this in like, I want to say it's like a small village in like Czech. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where, but it's like a small village that they did not speak English. So all the extras didn't really know what was going on.
They're like, who's so queen?
So legend has it, you know, this is what they say. I've heard a shit ton all the time is, so you know when they're doing the sword fighting and then Bettany does his whole thing and then nobody claps?
Yeah.
And then Roland does the, that really happened, where they did not realize that they were supposed to cheer until, and then that happened, and then they all cheered. And so
that was an improv.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, supposedly. You know?
Well, I thought that was awkward, but
I don't remember which video I was just watching, I wish I could point to it, but it would explain exactly that was completely unscripted, and that moment was just inspired on set. And it just fucking works so well.
Mm-hmm. So it feels like the chemistry was so good. I mean, it feels like they were just, you know, shooting the shit, having fun, mm-hmm. fucking around.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it really translates when you have these, you know, kind of weird comedies. When people are having fun, it really translates.
Yeah.
Getting back to like, you know, kind of the characters. Jocelyn is... She's fine, whatever. It's so funny. Every time I watch this, I will take the...
Christiana, the assistant?
The blacksmith.
Kate.
I love the blacksmith so much more than Jocelyn. I'm like, why can't we have her be the love interest instead of Jocelyn?
I was curious about that because I was like, literally they just like went bam, bam, bam. Here's three like women. It's like, I wonder what direction this is kind of going to go. Like, you assume it's going to be Jocelyn's character, but then you're like, ooh, maybe the armorer chick. And then she had, like, much smaller of a role than I was hoping she was going to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, also one of the knocks on writing, like, there is, you know, the subplot of this and that are good. And, you know, what they – unique story that they told, unique movie that they made, the writing has, you know, definitely has a bunch of problems. For example, like, you know, we don't get to learn much about the rest of them. You know, we are following William and, you know, the story is about him and him like raising. And you do really get you get a lot of the friends, but we don't get dive a massive amount in the background, which I don't think is the worst. But like, we definitely pick up two people very quickly. You don't really get like why they're tagging along. You also, the other thing that they never explain or show you is... You never see him tell anybody else, like the blacksmith or even Paul Bettany, oh, hey, I'm not really a royal. They just like suddenly know.
They just know. So they're, assume they have conversations and learn
which makes
to
sense.
Trust
like, you know,
that quickly.
If they're going to be in your like tight knit, like you can't fucking keep that from people, I would assume. Like,
well, didn't Paul Bettany's character catch on it from like the very beginning?
Oh, yeah, right away.
Yeah, Paul Bettany's character knew he wasn't a royal, mm-hmm. but like he knew his name two scenes later, like his physical name, which again makes sense because if he's forging it, you know, you tell him the truth because he has to be in on it because if he has to lie convincingly, he should know. It 100% makes sense. They just didn't put that scene in where they sat him down, which, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world because... What are we just going to sit here and be like, okay, so now this A, B, C, I know the audience knows all this stuff, but we all have to sit here and listen to because when he's gambling, like, you know, he's the gambling he's naked. He's like, hey, will you help me? Because, I mean, that's the notion that he knows his real name.
Yeah.
And then the blacksmith, they never even say anything except for one time when it's the black prince is just in disguise and Will goes, oh, he's in disguise like me, so nobody knows who he is. And the chick's just standing there. And I'm like, all right, well, clearly she knows. Clearly we're cool with it.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. That's not a big, what?
And she leans over. She's like, what the fuck did you just say?
You're what? You're in disguise. Shh. Yeah, and yeah, that's definitely pacing things is like, okay, or trusting the audience is, like you said, you know, the audience knows or gets it. So do we need a scene explaining it? Do we not? Does it add value?
Well, it just occurred to me that
it wasn't.
It occurred to me that Kate's character might have caught on earlier when she said, that armor wasn't for you, was it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right? That's fair. Yep. That's also fair. So yeah, there are, but to Matt's credit, like there are little bits that are wedged in there, but you kind of have to be paying real close attention or just assume that these things have actually been hashed out and there's, you know, I don't know, deals being made or something like that, which could have been added or, you know, subtracted outside of the fact that may have added value to the overall narrative, which would have strengthened the writing, but made it a much longer piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and it would have changed the tone because it would have turned it into a lighthearted, fun comedy to more of a, you know, a documentary, historian biopic, you know, more diving into this is how this person learned. This is how this person learned, instead of, you know, we want to keep the, I don't know, the drunk bar scene, them singing and betting, which another is like Paul Bettany's character has a gambling problem and then suddenly he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, which, we never have it again. He even gambles more with them and nobody says shit.
No,
and it's
no
like,
one
hey,
cares. Well, I mean,
you should be careful.
Thing
as long as we're winning, it's okay, guys.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, exactly.
That's absolutely what it was.
Gambling's a problem unless you're winning. That's exactly
correct. The gambling is not the problem. Losing is the
problem. Now I have to mention this moment because I love the moment and then it got ripped. It got watered down like 2 minutes later. When they're walking into the first town and they're like, okay, cool, we're going to go sign you up for these events. And Bettany is looking at them rolling dice and just like holds on them while everyone else walks away. And he has to kind of tear himself away from going to, and it's like, oh shit, he's got a fucking gambling addiction. Like, I got it right away. It was awesome. And then like the next scene, he's, you know, giving this expository monologue about how he's in gambling debt. And I'm like, I feel like we didn't need that. So it's like kind of pick or choose.
Well, I mean, I think that scene is the he went and gambled and he lost all the stuff. Like, that was the consequences of his addiction. Mm-hmm. And so personally, I don't think that was necessarily like a bad scene because I think that's just the continuation of the small problem. But just the small problem was three scenes in they met him. You kind of learn a little bit. He has a drug, gambling problem. You know, he's like, oh, you know, I wasn't robbed, but yes, I was kind of, you know, then it was gambling and then it was the consequences from that gambling. And then it was over from there. Like, we never had any more in the movie was about his gambling or anything like that. So, you know, I personally think the scene afterwards is just a follow up continuation of the mini storyline, but to me this storyline was very short and then we never it was just done after
like
that.
He just decided he
you
was
know,
done
magic,
gambling.
Correct. Yeah. Right? Yes. He's like, now I'm magically solved because William made it sound like I'm gonna get my flesh cut off, which is scary, but I guess I'm just completely solved. Especially like the more success they have, the more money he has, so the more gambling he'd be able to do. Mm-hmm. So
well, I mean, they do that with the French. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, well, that's what I'm the one time, but it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
It was
everyone
it's
was
a jokey,
in on it at that
fun
point.
Scene. Yes,
like
right?
I almost
yeah,
thought there was
like
going to be a subplot line of him taking all their winnings, gambling it away, and then he'd have no money for, like, I don't know, what to wear for a certain place or the armor again or something or other. I thought that was going to be a subplot at some point, and then
the subplots are really
subterranean plots for sure.
Under there. Yeah, 1 second. I'm going to grab a beer.
All right. Oh. Well, maybe I'll go grab a beer too real quick.
I mean, it's so far away. Fuck.
Mine's not that far. I'm on the
I
same
don't
level.
Know.
What happens when
oh,
you live
shit.
In a small place?
That was fast.
Look at that. I already made it back because I ran because I'm athletic, right. Jeff.
Because I'm athletic.
All right. I'm going to go run and grab one too.
Oh, goddamn it. It takes so much effort for me to untangle myself from my contraptions.
Sucks to suck. Oh, the cat doesn't have a head. Oh, there it is.
Meow.
All right, well.
Jeff, how do you... Jeff? How do you feel about your name being vindicated?
My name being vindicated.
Yes.
Oh, Geoffrey Chaucer.
Oh,
is that how it's spelled?
I didn't get that. No, I thought it was fine. I don't know. I first noticed they were just saying Jeff, and then I had subtitles on, so then I saw it was spelled like mine too, and I was like, "Whoa, that crossed a line."
Well, in my notes, I wrote Jeff J E F F.
Doesn't bother me. That sounds like an inferior Jeff.
I didn't realize that's how they spelt it.
Yeah.
He's one of the few ones with a last name also.
Cammy, your tail is blocking my face. You do know that, right?
Jeff disappeared. Hello, Jeff. Meow, meow. When you first ran up with Cammy, she didn't have a head.
a ball of fur.
It sort of looked like.
I felt bad. I accidentally stepped on her while I was going to get a beer. I didn't realize she was sitting in the room with me.
So we just watched you with your arms out run into the distance. That was funny. What did you guys think of? So they did try a cool shot where they tried the wide tracking shot.
Loved it.
The only thing I'm upset is they bailed.
At the end of it.
One cutaway.
Yep.
And I would love to know if something happened so they were forced to do that, or they just felt like it would be more
impactful.
If they went close. Because I would have just liked to stay the wide, maybe go a little bit closer so we could see their face the whole time and then keep it back and forth. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, I loved
tracking.
I liked the move itself. I thought that was a lot of fun. Like it almost felt like shifts of power, like starting on him coming in there and then all like following her. And then she started pushing him back to the original location. That was a lot of fun. I think it was, it felt appropriate and inevitable that they were going to go back in for close-ups to finish off that argument. But I guess what you're saying. Yeah, it would have been fun to kind of.
There's not nearly as
back.
Much action, because like you think of like the old boy one with down the hallway, but there's a lot more like physical action that you can watch, and it's like they chose to do it on a scene where the background is gorgeous, but like not a shit ton happened. You want to see the emotions on their face mostly, but
yeah, it was interesting. The DP was like,
no.
All this is going to be normal, but I want this. I want this one suggestion for this.
The director didn't show up that day, and he's like, guys, guess what we're doing?
How about this?
It's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, no,
what are my close ups? Shut up.
I loved it because it told the character's story with the camera. And I love when we get to actually like visually see how the characters are feeling, because it was definitely an artistic choice to do that, to see how far the couple feels from each other, and to not be intimate, but also like you, Jeff, exactly like you said, of like getting pushed into the church, and then like she's kind of pushing him away and pushing back, and then he's or she's enticing him to go a little further, but he's trying to pull away a little bit. Like it was this beautiful balance, with the actors, with the characters, with the camera, to tell a visual story about the emotions. I thought it was great. I understand why they punched in and did the close-ups. I wish that if they had only done like one or two close-ups and not gone back to the wide, is to stay punched in and not retreat back out. That felt a little bit odd.
We could have held on like her POV of him just like walking away the whole way.
Yes.
That would have been nice. They had multiple like church scenes, though. The previous one with the horse in there. The guy singing was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Holy shit. There was a decent cut out of there too, like edit out of there, because it was him singing, and then they transitioned to more of a traditional music of like, a priest or whatever singing for the background music, where they jumped back to the jousting. I would have loved it if they'd done a wide shot for like a couple jousting of just sitting back there with whatever, either once they could do like two of them in one side. It's early and you see all the royals, and the other side it's like later and you see all the peasants and stuff, and like actually get to watch them race at each other and hit each other like all in one long take.
Yeah, that would have been really fantastic. Cool. I am sad we didn't get to see that for sure. A great edit was when after the big ballroom dance scene, when the when the main characters and Will and Jocelyn are kind of, you know, dancing and getting really close to each other, we literally match cut to literal sparks, you know, being created. Yeah. And I thought that was awesome as well.
I went back and forth on the editing. There was a lot of good, like you were saying, or like we're talking about, but then also a lot of the jousting, they, you know, to build tension, and I get why they did it, but like, one person would start and be like, horse is gone. Then we cut to the other person. He does something. He says something. He pauses.
And then goes.
Then he goes. And then he's still meet in the middle. I'm like, how slow is this first horse? Yeah. Did he stop at some point? They should be meeting like 5 feet away from where he is.
Yeah, that did happen quite often. I agree with you there.
But I get why they like needed a build up, because it's like realistically that action is 15 seconds, the whole thing. It's like, so
if that.
They really need to like, you know, stretch that shit out a little bit, unfortunately.
Right, to create tension. Oh, and in what fucking world would someone joust with no armor?
Well, in this
world,
he's a knight. Bitch.
Oh.
He's fucking, yeah. Oh. In his heart,
never
he's
back
a knight.
Down.
He's armored by love and the stars. Shut up, Brandon.
It looked cool. Or did they just run out of prop budget?
They were like, we're paying this man this much. We need to see his face.
They're like, he's going to die soon anyways. It's fine.
Ooh.
Well, I guess not soon. You know. Is that too much, Jeff? Hurt.
Too soon.
Speaking of, we were talking earlier about the betting. I thought it was very funny. After they had the church fight and everything, she's like, you should lose.
I thought
just standing there.
Ridiculous. I was just like, in what world are you
in
going
this
to,
world?
Like, is she going to tell this guy in this life-threatening sport to not fight back?
Hey, you just don't love your girlfriend, so it's not their fault.
But like, I love
they
the
can
realistic
aim for the face.
I love the realistic line afterwards. Is I hate her.
Yes, your embodiment of love and. Oh, how I hate her. I agree. That is a great setup. I mean, it's just so funny. Even Paul Bettany had a great line where he runs up and they're like, are you blind? Did you see the flag? And
he's like
no.
Yeah.
She said this. And then as he walks away, he's like, I wish you were blind.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
They had a lot of another funny line. I'm just saying funny lines. The very end when... Oh, like during that where the blacksmith is like, oh, it is very romantic.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you, a woman or a blacksmith? Sometimes I'm both.
Sometimes both.
No, that was
And I love the way that the plot actually is like structured. Like, I feel like they make a lot of really good choices that kind of get, you know, played on a little bit. But like the characters actually call them out and things like, you know, like that with him. Sometimes I'm both. But like even earlier is, okay, so we have, I'm going to pretend to be a knight, which is punishable by death, which I love that the gallows are just casually in the background and just barely even mentioned. That's fucking brilliant. I loved it. And so he impersonates a knight and, okay, well, he's going to win, right? He needs to win from a plot standpoint. So how is he going to get out of this situation without being, you know, while remaining hidden? Oh, we'll just have his helmet just be smashed in. And so it can't
open. So fucking lucky.
Like,
yeah.
Again, in what world does he survive? But it was a great, like, plot beat to go, oh, okay, that makes sense. That checks out. I'll accept that, those parameters, and move on. Like, this had such a low buy-in. It really, even though they were able to raise the stakes and it was more of a traditional, you know, underdog story, so you knew he was going to come out on top, it definitely, like, never felt, I don't know, overused at any point.
They also, they said in, like, the big one is when he gets discovered and he, you know, he's put in the gallows and everything, and they set up how he escapes it. I feel like they didn't telegraph it. Again, it's hard for me to judge because it's been fucking forever since I've seen it for the first time. So it's better for you guys to judge, like, because yeah, obviously we know he's going to get out of it somehow, but you know, you don't know exactly how. So, and then they set that up so long ago with a black prince, and then he kind of disappears and you forget about it until he pops up again. And another great line of, how loyal your friends are. Mm-hmm. And if I knew nothing else about you, that would be enough. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in many situations, they would run. They all wanted to run anyways. Mm-hmm. And it's like they fought their instincts because of how much, you know, the love for William and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On that point, Matt, like I did kind of realize before it happened that what, like, I kind of anticipated that prince was going to come back, because otherwise, really? Sometimes I notice some of those things where I'm just like, huh, this character popped up for a very brief moment and he had lines, so he's important. So, and then when they finally
got to, he's a friend of the producer.
Yeah. By the time they got to London, I was just like, ooh, something's going to happen here. Like, that's kind of related to that. And I didn't know it was going to play out exactly like that, where he was going to get knighted and everything too. But I was like, this guy's going to play like his royal card and get him out of trouble somehow.
Yep.
We found he's a knight. Nobody's allowed to fucking say anything.
I know.
until he loses power. Then they can say something.
No, I had the exact same reaction to that scene, that first scene with the Black Knight. I literally wrote down, I bet that'll have major implications mm-hmm. later in the story.
Yeah.
And like, I knew he was going to come back, but in the exact same way, like, I didn't know in what way or how significant it was going to be. I just knew that he was going to be a big character that was going to come back for whatever reason. And then when mm-hmm. he pulled the Man of the High Castle, when he pulled him away to go and fight in his war, shut up.
Oh, I got you.
Sorry. No, your camera just, you like did Sonic the Hedgehog or something. You're like, wow.
I assumed that was going to be, you know, his way of saying thanks. And I was like, oh, is that it? All it's going to be is he's just going to pull away the enemy and then that's how he's going to get victory or something. I was like, oh, that's going to be unsatisfying. So I loved, you know, that he came back and he, you know, was able to knight our hero and, you know, make him realize mm-hmm. his dream and, you know, give that true underdog triumphant victory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was great.
Homies in high places.
Homies in high places. And he also, he got his name, he got the crowd chanted for him 3 times and it kind of was like a build up. Like the mm-hmm. first time was they chanted Hector, but which wasn't even like, it was for him, but they didn't even know it. Then it was Lichtenstein.
Oh yeah. Ulrich.
And then it was William at the very end.
Yeah.
Which was, except it's weird that he was yelling his own name, but
I know,
he did a Larry Bird.
I did not understand
that. I will say that's another line that, like, if I, you know, I know another Will, I constantly like, William.
God, if I ever like race anybody or do something like that, just towards the end, I'm gonna be like,
Jeffrey. my note is, did he just yell his own name before attacking?
Hell yeah.
It's like a Pokemon.
Larry Bird.
It's like sex, and you're like, Brandon.
I don't already.
Gross. One of my favorite lines of fucking all my movies, and I say it all the time for sports-related stuff, but I love the bad guy and whoever the hell the other guy was, who was supposed to come back because he had lines, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. When they were like, how would you beat him? And he's like, with a stick while he slept.
Yeah.
But on a horse with a lance, he's unbeatable. And I say that all the time, you know, Kansas City, how would you beat him? With a stick while he slept. With a football on the field, God, they're undefeated. And I love that line so much.
That's a really good line.
Because you did get to see his, like, you know, he did grow as a jouster mm-hmm, also. Mm-hmm. You know, he abandoned the sword fight, which I think he should have just kept that up.
I know, he definitely should have kept that too.
Especially when he was winning the tournaments too. Like, right. Fuck it, dude. Just do both.
Handily. No, I need time to concentrate on just this one thing. Get really good at this one thing.
Yeah, the thing I sucked at the most, I need to get best at.
But then he abandoned his other skills and, you know, sucks at that.
Like, he abandoned his dreadlocks.
Oh, I know. Loser.
And he kind of had a bit of a Chris Hemsworth thing going on here.
Yeah, Fat Thor. That's what that reminds me of.
Okay, I got you. I didn't know what that was.
Sorry, yeah.
I was like, yeah,
I was
going to
say Fat Chris Hemsworth, and I was like, no, that's not relevant. Fat Thor.
Fat Thor.
Out of curiosity, especially Matt, since you've watched this so many times, how do you feel about the flashback scenes?
In like
just in any regard, because to me they felt kind of like classic, almost kind of cheesy. But
yeah,
but they
I
were
agree.
Like, you know, they gave you necessary information.
Yeah, the kid's acting also sucked. I liked the one where they were watching the parade, because then it will mm-hmm. parallel when they do come. Like I liked that one. Him going across the river, mm-hmm. you know, I probably could have lived without that one. Yeah. It also makes no sense. Roland was there, but then also he's been back to England before that. So Roland left and then came back, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get to see the knight and whatnot. But I could have lived without that one. But again, they're trying to set up what they set up using the flashbacks. Like, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, they're pretty standard, you mm-hmm. know. It's like that's some of the warts of this movie, where there's some standard practice shit mm-hmm. where, you know, it doesn't bug me necessarily. But if they had cut it or done something different, would have been perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. couple of them really worked. Like that parade scene absolutely was a great parallel, like Matt said. At the end with Sir Highcastle, he kind of, you know, getting his like flash, not really a flashback, but use the same effect mm-hmm. as if it was a flashback. That one kind of felt
his
a little bit goofy,
is what I called it, but
right. Yeah. Got hit so hard that he got knocked into a different universe.
Well, so
limbo kind of,
that's like one of the other points I wanted to bring up too.
Well, that's what that's what it was, wasn't it? Like, he was on the teeter of death, and they're the ones, like, you know, God gets to weigh you and decide if you get
to live
or not.
Well, that was before they actually jousted in that moment. Like, he was like almost,
no,
wasn't it? Like, he,
no, that was the final. He knocked him off to win it when he didn't have armor, and
sure,
he needed to knock him
off. He got hit and then went into the hallucination, and then they went back to real time and then showed him actually falling.
The super slow.
It was weird. But on top of that, I was super tripped out, because when they got into that, what I'm calling hallucination, he was like, I could have sworn he landed on his like tipped lance.
Yep. He was
like
floating.
Just like piked right there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, that sucks. And then they're all being like really like mean
like,
to him while he's dying.
Sucks for you.
I was like, that is mean so odd that all they just all like circled around him and were just like,
this man was looting and raping and like he's horrible. Like,
don't get
and
me
then
wrong. It just felt weird for our righteously good characters to come up and smile at him while he's dying.
While he's impaled.
Yeah. And so, like, even once we realized what was happening, I was just like, oh, so he was floating there, I guess. That was an interesting choice.
There is a weird separation between him and the ground that you can see. And it is very trippy. And maybe force and stuff, maybe they're like, hey, we want it to feel like, you know, hallucination limbo, so we're mm-hmm. gonna do this weird separation that sets people off mm-hmm. because it's not normal. Because if he's just laying on the ground, some people might be like, did that really happen? And then they like cut away.
But I just almost half expected someone like Alan Tudyk's character come up and just like push him down onto the spike or something like that. Like, I was just like, this is a weird scene.
I wonder if they just made like had a table and they like strapped him to it, his legs, and he just was supposed to like float out.
I guess. Yeah, they must have.
That would be annoying.
Did you guys stay through the credits and watch the bonus scene?
This time I did not, but I have before, which personally I don't like it.
What part don't you like?
It just seems dumb. It just seems dumb. Yes, it just seems very childish, dumb to me. Did you guys like it?
It was,
it was there. I don't know.
They could have done so many other things. It's just very odd. It was very odd to me that they
boy
did that.
Humor. Ha ha ha.
It reminded me of the humor from the beginning with the swapping out the nose plugs, like just kind of like.
Nah,
the nose plug was a lot funnier. I found that gag to be funny.
Him going, this is left and this is right was hilarious. Them just farting was not. I will give you another bad thing. The siege, the green screen for the kiss was fucking awful.
Oh, yeah, it was jittery.
Oh, my God.
It reminded me of a Hedwig flying away from Hogwarts in the first Harry Potter.
Yes. Yes. And it's annoying because there was like, I can't think of other bad CG. There might, like, obviously the town, some of the towns, and there was CG and stuff, but like no other times was I like, oh, that looks fucking horrible, except for, you know, their kind of climax kiss and shit. I'm like, God, you really ruined this build up.
I didn't like how they didn't use CG for the wound, for when he got stabbed. He's like, I can't move my arm anymore. I can't grip it. And like his little wound, his shirt had like a dab of blood on it. Like, I feel like that should have been a lot worse.
After they pulled the
spike out? Yeah.
To me, it was a little believable just because when they pulled that spike out, it looked like there was a big chunk of that thing missing, and I assumed it was still in his body. And then, okay. I don't know. It looked like it was like a solid, like,
yeah, I was gonna
two
say,
or three inches
look,
of the spike was like still in him, me, so it could have gotten like really fucking far. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, which is also majorly concerning. And I also like how he magically was able to use his arm for jumping over the rail and hugging everyone and grabbing his girl and
adrenaline.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. He saw his girl. You know how big his erection was at that point? He might have used that to fling over. Like, ooh. Mm-hmm.
I would assume it would have been like in the Olympics, and he just would have hit it and knocked the entire railing down.
Nice, nice, nice. I don't think he had an erection, but yeah, totally.
Did you see his girl? Of course he did.
I've never like, to me, the wound has never bugged me. It's looked you know, normal to me, but that's fair. That is fair. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of adrenaline to still strap that shit to his
yeah.
And also, go ahead.
I was going to say, my sense of belief was suspended when he took so many hits to the head and like his neck wasn't broken constantly. There's a lot of things I was just like, all right, that's fine. Just like, we'll see if he's going to live.
They did Nike symbols. They were chanting, "We will rock you." Yes. My suspension of disbelief at that point was very, very high. Also, I liked when Paul Bettany was like, oh, I need to buy some time. And then he had like such a short speech. I was like, yeah. I know, homie, you like gained like 45 seconds or something like that. What are you doing?
Just enough time to lash that thing to his arm.
Yeah. I would like to know one of the other speeches. He was like, not everybody's sitting on a cushion. I'm like, is that is that a real thing? Were cushions there legit back then? I don't know what things like they could say if it was if they were kind of real. The dude said, you know, try and beat the second coming of Christ. Is that a thing? Because, I mean, you know, they definitely had that religion then. So would people say that at that time?
Yeah. I assume so.
I wouldn't know.
Were they joking about Jesus Christ coming back to life again?
I assume so.
Okay. Based off of just vibes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Based off of this documentary I just watched. It's called A Knight's Tale.
Whatever you say, Ridley Scott.
You weren't there, so shut the fuck up.
Hey, I hear you. I'm with you, man. Anything else that you guys got?
That was it for my notes.
I mean, yeah, that was pretty. We covered pretty much everything I wanted to talk about, I think, and nothing that we didn't talk about that I feel like I need to say.
One of the small. About. I did like that he was like, "Oh, stay on your horse and you win." You're like, yeah, I know how to score. Shut up.
That was cool. And it's very much for the audience, but then like the characters are like, yeah, I don't need this kind of information. Mm-hmm. So it's calling out that trope of, hey, we're only explaining it for the audience. I like that. Mm-hmm.
You do like that?
I did like that.
In Deadpool, they called out the trope. You were like, oh, what a bitch.
But yeah, here you like it. Stupid. Yeah, but this was back in 2001. Heard, you know.
I got you. My guy.
It gets
you,
away
you.
With it.
I got you.
We'll
all
say
right,
that
wants...
in 20 years about Deadpool.
No, we're not allowed to watch it past this year. He already said nobody's going to watch it. No one's allowed to watch Deadpool.
Were those my exact words?
No one's going to watch it in 30 years.
Yeah, 35 years. Exactly. There you go.
No, I'm pretty sure. Whatever. This is 23 years. So 11 years from now when I'm watching this, then we'll have comments on it.
Yeah, but you didn't have 47 movies before this that to understand what was happening in this movie. That was the issue.
I know. Brandon doesn't like it when he doesn't know all the stuff and other people are in the loop. And Brandon's like, fuck you people. Who wants to grade first?
You have to.
Well, yeah. Nobody wants to. You have to.
I like Rufus. It's a good name. Rufus.
Rufus.
He's just a bad guy in everything. Dark City, Delusionist.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. All right, let's see. Grades.
Great, grades.
No, like we're, you know, jousting. Great.
Oh, I got
Grilliams.
Yeah. Matthew. Jeff.
I can't say that. I can't say that the whole time I'm grading. I'm sorry.
Ooh, I do have something while you're thinking.
Ooh.
Ooh, sorry.
Ooh.
Ooh.
The director, Brian Helgeland.
Oh.
Helgeland? I don't know how to pronounce it. Won an Oscar for Mystic River.
Oh.
Was it Mystic River or was that his nominee? No, he won an Oscar for L.A. Confidential, and he got nominated for Mystic River.
He also did 42.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he directed 42.
I never saw that. Was that good?
It was actually really good.
Alan Tudyk races as fuck.
Yeah.
Alan Tudyk's in it, right? Yeah, okay. I don't think, I feel like I've seen it. I've seen enough clips from it that I feel like I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
He also did, he directed Legend.
I never saw that one.
Tom Hardy acting with himself.
Oh. Yeah, so I haven't seen a lot on his list.
Did he write Mystic River?
Yes.
He also wrote Circus... God. Did anybody read when they were a kid Circus du Freak? Cirque du Freak?
No.
God, I imagine. He also wrote Man on Fire. Holy shit, dude. This man writes a lot. Sorry. Circus, it's like a vampire teen movie. Teen based.
Oh, okay.
It's like, and then they made movies. Well, they made movies on it that did not do well. I never saw them because I really, really, really enjoyed the books. And I was like, again, it's one of those. I'm like, why am I going to see it? I'm not going to like it, period, because I love the books. But when I was a teenager.
He also wrote The Killer.
Which one was that one?
The Flower one Moon from this year that was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Or that went to Netflix.
That's upsetting.
Oh, wait. No, never mind. I lied. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. He wrote a movie called The Killer. This might be a different one.
Let me go back and see.
Enough stalling.
It's not even stalling. I just completely wasn't even looking. Let's see. I think... maybe this is the first truly stupid rating I do. All right. I mean, fuck it. I think I know what I'm going to do. So unfortunately, let's see. I got to go first. So I'll do my stupid. I think, you know, it hits a lot of my, you know, my vibes. They go on a, you know, long journey. It's fun. It's like, it's sports, it's romance, there's comedy in it. I do truly love this. Like I've said, I think, you know, it's unique. I like that they, you know, it feels like the MTV era, but again, it's got my nostalgia. It really, I understand the people that did not grow up watching it, definitely don't love it as much. You know, the Time Machine, I'm sure we liked it more because, you know, that's what the whole month is nostalgia. And I feel like if I were to be objective, it feels like a, you know, a sevens, mid sevens or so. You know, there is definitely warts, but there is a lot of comedy and is a lot of unique stuff they do that you don't see other places that do work a lot. You know, a lot, there's not much CG. I think it still mostly looks good. But because of my nostalgia, and I have hardcore nostalgia with this, so this will be, you know, the most obscene shit that I will grade. I think I'm going to go honestly on the same level that I have Men in Black. While I think objectively Men in Black is a better movie, but I think the nostalgia gives me such a boost that I'm going to go 8.5 because this is
I know, way lower than I thought.
Oh,
that's higher than I thought.
I was going to say, it gets a massive boost just because I absolutely love this.
And, but that's what I mean. Like, I thought this was going to be definitely in the nines for you because you it's so personal to you and you enjoy it so much.
His first 10.
Hell no. I wasn't going to say that. I am not crazy.
No.
I just thought it was going to be higher for you.
No, these grades are a combination of my personal love and technicality. Like, how good they do and how good the physical movie is, plus how much, you know, combined and averaged out of how much I also enjoy it. So my joy gets a huge boost, but I'm not insane. Like, I can't put this on the same level as, you know, Interstellar and shit like that. I mean, it's just like, no matter how much I love it, I understand that it's not the greatest technical movie ever made. And, you know, so I just can't let, you know, it is a combination. And anyways, stop it. 8.5.
That's fair. That's fair.
Nice, you're allowed to put in a 9, Brandon. I'll put a 9 in for you now.
So right. I mean,
Brandon's already graded a 9. So Jeff, your turn.
So I did thoroughly enjoy this movie. I thought it was a fun story. It was you know, this underdog peasant rising above what anyone thought was possible, and you know, and at the time to overcome all obstacles and cement his name in the echoes of history, like, just has so much weight and so much fun. But then it was just, you know, kind of a silly, goofy, goof-off movie. Not quite to the level of something like Your Highness, which we were talking about with Seth Rogen's movies, you know, have their own kind of aesthetic. That this kind of reminded me of that James Franco and Danny McBride movie, set in similar times and does similar vibes as well, but a lot less raunchy and a lot more tame. But I think the acting and the charm from everyone in the cast truly is what propelled this movie away from the camp and into entertainment. For me, the modern soundtrack bits were a bit jarring and out of place, save for a couple. Production design overall we didn't really talk about production design, but it felt mostly practical. Like, I didn't see a whole lot of CG, and so everything, you know, having that many extras, I'm sure was no easy task. So it definitely gets a little bit of a praise for that aspect of it, of being made in more of a traditional sense. I don't know. I felt like it was just extremely accessible. Whether or not it was historically accurate, you know, again, it doesn't really matter for this one, because it was,
so you know,
it was,
it's not whether it was fun. Or not, it just wasn't.
But it was fun and it really kind of, works on most levels. So I think, honestly, I think I've got this one at an 8. Like, this is definitely,
whoa,
a super enjoyable time.
I was way off.
That's a really easy watch that you get a lot of value for. You get a lot of entertainment out of this. And yeah, I mean, like you said, this is what, 23 years old, 24 years old. So
2001.
Right. It definitely holds up.
So you like it as much
a point above 10
as Godzilla minus 1. Because you said eight, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The holdovers.
Terminator 2, Hunt for the Wilder People,
A Knight's Tale, Men in Black. Hey, we both matched Men in Black.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, I'd say it's around that level.
Okay.
Jeff, what'd you put it? Men in Black. All right, Jeff, you have to rate it.
I know. Well,
8.25.
What did I put Men in Black at? I can't 8.25. Find it. I put it 8.25. Okay.
Yep.
So
I'll put 8.25 for you.
Let me. Also, I agree with you guys. I think this movie was entertaining. I think
Jeff's
going to
be
fun.
The lowest.
Yeah, he is.
It was fun, and like, I think the acting was like generally pretty good. There were a few of those little like cheesy moments or things, but like, I don't know, they're like, the nostalgia factor is huge here. Like, that like felt classically like one of those early 2000s movies to me. And yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to pick apart from it. It was a fun and entertaining movie, but I think I will have to go lower than you guys. I was debating where along my lines I would put this, but I think I felt most similarly about this movie to the entertainment factor of what I had for Dungeons and Dragons. So I think I'm going to go 7.25.
Ooh.
I was closer than Brandon, even though he changed my fucking guess. Brandon, you guessed 6.75. He has one other 6.75. He's got like a couple below 7 at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If I generally hate it to be under seven. Yeah, yeah. Like Fast Six, if it's like on the lines of like Fast Six, that's where my sixes are going to come around.
He's a 9 under 7. You have more over 9 than he has under 7. Anyways, yeah, he's 7.25. 7.25, yeah, that's what you
said.
It was
still fun. It was still fun and entertaining.
7.28, that's what I typed in. 7.2, now it's flat. Jesus. I'm getting used to my new keyboard. Struggle. All right, 7.25.
All right, 7.25.
8.5. Hey, we have a better average than the Time Machine. Hey, that means I had a better pick than Jeff. That's all that matters.
All right, sweet. Well, thanks for listening to the Night's Tale.
Brandon still can't get his hand to raise.
Still can't get it up. Wait, shit.
He won't be able to jump over the pole now. Damn.
Bummer. Pole won't come with me. All right, well, thanks for listening to A Knight's Tale. Let us know what you thought of this 2001 romance, rom-com, action, thriller, suspense, adventure.
Sports movie.
What?
No, it's a sports movie. Could have just like not places labeled with, like, as boxing.
It's not labeled as rom-com, by the way, on IMDb.
It's labeled as some uplifting rom-com or something.
I hope feel good, like, romance.
Yeah, feel good romance. The same thing.
Action, do they have any weird ones? And romance after that.
Feel good romance feel is good. The exact same
no
thing.
No comedy. This was not a funny movie.
What's
this
the difference was... between... Yeah, for real. What? That's so weird.
I didn't laugh a single time.
No. You can't. It's a feel good romance.
I did feel good, though. I did feel good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I liked it. I think these guys liked it as well. So let us know what you think about that. Make sure you definitely go listen to the Time Machine from last week. Stick around for next week. We're going to finish out September's Nostalgia Month, part 3, with The Producers.
Woo! I'm so excited. I loved this when I was a kid.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I'm going to watch the fun. We're watching the newer one, right, Brandon?
Yes.
Right, you always ask me that if we're watching the old one from really long ago.
1967 version?
Yeah. I wanted to just, you know, do it back to you.
I might actually try to fit in time to watch the old one because I have it and I haven't watched it yet. And I want to see how updated it is. So,
Mel Brooks was a writer on this one.
I know, dude. I can't believe he's doing the newer one and not the older one. The older one with like Mel Brooks, it's got freaking Gene Wilder. That screams Brandon to me. That's so odd. Yeah.
Well, the 2005 one is Mel Brooks is credited as a writer.
Oh, well, I mean, imagine it's, you know, it's the same basically thing, right? Did he actually physically? Anyways, we'll talk about that.
I don't know.
We'll talk about
I have
that
no idea.
Week. Shut up, Jeff. Matthew we'll talk Broderick. About that next week. Also, everyone, the poll, right? The survey, the Johnny Depp survey is coming.
Johnny Depp
to
draft
an end
is
soon.
Still up and going.
We need to get in there and do it.
We do have a handful of responses. It? So thanks everyone for doing that. Yeah, make sure you go vote for your favorite Johnny Depp movies, and you can vote for as many as you want.
How do you get there? I don't even know.
You can get there through
Jeff, you're not
any
allowed to
link
vote.
In the show note. There's a link
I just
in the show
see.
Note.
Jeff, if you vote, I have to vote. You have to tell me if you
I
vote.
I will let you
I'm
guys know if I vote,
voting.
But I just want to see what it's at.
You cheat, I have to cheat also.
That's okay. We can all evenly cheat.
I just want to make sure if you cheat, you tell us so that we cheat also.
Yes.
Right, exactly. That's how that works. It's in our Instagram bio. It's on our socials. It's in the show notes. So... definitely go and check that out. Go let us know. Go watch the draft on our YouTube page. We're all over social, so come find us. Say hello. Let us know what you think we should do fantasy draft-wise, because we have a really fun time doing these.
Hell yeah.
Agreed.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. But yeah, until then, guys, enjoy the movies, and we'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Bye. Kapow.
Bye.